Kia ora. My name is Temuera Morrison, and I play the character Jango Fett in Star Wars Attack of the Clones, Episode 2. I was also privileged to play Commander Cody in Episode 3, and many of the clones that you see within the saga of Star Wars. And you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So damn nerdy.
Welcome to Beyond the Gauntlet. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. We are not broadcasting live from 14 Mill Street in Orangeville, Ontario. In fact, we are broadcasting in a galaxy far, far away. That's the hint for our today's topic. I am joined with
Jeff Darth Dahan
and Chris Petal, owner and operator of the Gauntlet. It's funny that you bring out Darth right now because apparently the Empire has enlisted people to become new Darths, and that's where Jamie happens to be right now. He couldn't pass up the opportunity to become Darth McBurney.
He's in Sith Lord training.
He's going through Sith Academy, and hopefully he will be a new evil Dark Lord of the Sith, Sith McBurney.
I think that would fit him well.
I think it would, too. He's got the deep voice already, so...
And he's got the dome for it. The helmet would fit nice.
It would.
He just gets an incredibly lame name. Is it Vader or Tyrannus? McBurney.
Yeah, Darth McBurney.
You say that until he sets you on fire.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we might as well just call him Darth Scooter at this point. So, we're talking about Star Wars. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. What can't we talk about Star Wars about?
Well, and that's the funny thing is we didn't really preface or prep this when we were talking about it. We're just like, you want to talk about Star Wars? Star Wars. So, all right. Well, you know what? Let's start off with how J.J. Abrams and Disney have the rights to all the new stuff. Let's just jump right into the current
stuff. Yeah, big, big shocker there where last year the rights to Star Wars ended up in Disney's hands, and then Lucas gave a very large chunk of what he made out of the $4.4 billion to the school districts in California.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's so hardcore. For the guy who gave us Jar Jar Binks, you know what? The slate is wiped clean.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. And you know what? Now Disney has all of the Lucas properties.
And who else better to really have them? I mean, if anybody could not screw it up, it would be Disney.
This is true. Now, when we have episode 7 coming out, and we've already, if you've been following this sort of thing at all, a decent amount of the original cast is actually coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, has actually gone through weight loss training and is actually starting to look very good.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher.
I mean, we got a lot of these guys coming back for this as older versions of their characters. So I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen with this. And my only hesitation is J.J. Abrams.
And that's the funny thing.
Lens flares!
I kind of agree with you. When it was first announced, I'm like, hey, that's great, because I was thinking about all the things of his that I liked. And then I started to sour on it because I was thinking of all the things of his that I liked and how after a little while, I didn't like them so much anymore.
I'm leery of him because of Into Darkness.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things I
was
saying.
But the first Star Trek was amazing.
And that's what I'm saying. When Lost came out the gate, it was fantastic. Once you cross season 3,
boom.
He gets drunk off the smell of his own crap. Yeah.
So that's what has me worried. By that logic, episode 7 should be fantastic, but episode 8 is going to tank.
And that's another thing, too. We're going to get a new Star Wars movie every year.
I know. They've got slated a Boba Fett movie, a Han Solo origin story movie.
Aren't they filming the live-action series right
they're
now?
They're doing a live-action series. They're doing more cartoons.
Basically what they're going to do is they'll have episode 7, then they'll have like a tie-in movie like the Boba Fett one, and then episode 8. Is that how they're doing it?
No, I think they just want to keep the Star Wars license going. I mean, they want to keep it alive.
Maybe they're going to try and do the whole kind of Marvel thing with it to make it feel more interconnected.
Well, it's a pretty big cash cow. I don't blame them for wanting to churn them out as quickly as possible.
Now, I mean, let's face it, when it comes to Star Wars movies, one of the things that has always been attached to Star Wars movies has been the toy lines. So, I mean, I don't know if Mattel still has the rights.
Hasbro.
Hasbro has the rights to the toys, or if Disney has stricken that from them. I haven't heard either way.
I would imagine Hasbro.
But Hasbro must be salivating.
Oh yeah,
at the bit for this now.
Well, they would already have toy designs for the next 3 years.
Oh,
so they've already seen concept art. They're already prototyping stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, it's going to be insane for them, and maybe this is the reason why they got rid of the whole G.I. Joe line, is to make room for the Star Wars.
You know,
they're about the same size.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad theory, because this would take up so much production.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, not Star Wars toys. Now, here's the thing with when it comes to Star Wars collectors. I mean, just recently I had a friend of the stores fell on some hard times and had to sell his vintage Star Wars toy collection. And I see how much these toys from like 77 through 83 have been going for in my store and even in open box condition. And, you know, a lot of what's going to happen with this episode 7, 8, and 9 in the toy market is going to be, if the movies suck, people are going to want to hang on to vintage and the price of vintage is going to go up. But if these movies are stellar, they're going to revitalize the entire Star Wars toy industry again, and the prices of everything else will probably go up anyway.
Yeah.
So for a toy collector, you're sitting in a win-win situation if you are collecting Star Wars toys right now.
Now, hopefully the new movie's awesome and it won't end up like anything episode one. You can't pay people to take that stuff for whatever reason.
No.
Well,
there
like
are
I,
some good figures in that line. Don't get
like,
me wrong.
Like I said, Mike, when the when I found out that Disney got their rights to Star Wars, I basically said it can't be any worse than what Lucas has already done with episode 1, 2, and 3.
It's although it was an interesting time to be a toy collector with like episode one or with like episode three toys. So many places got exclusives. Target got exclusives. Toys R Us got exclusives. Walmart got exclusives. Mm-hmm. I sold off my Star Wars collection probably about 2 or 3 years ago. Well, God, I'm kicking myself in the ass for that.
I feel like with the first, I shouldn't say first, I should specify, episode 1, 2, and 3.
Prequels.
They kind of bit off a little more than they could chew, so to speak, and I think the hype kind of is what killed them. Like, you look at something like the star of those three movies, you know, Anakin Skywalker, a.k.a. Darth Vader. What has Hayden Christensen done since then?
Jumper.
That's what I'm saying is that, you know, Natalie Portman, nobody really, she wasn't huge before then,
but she's
become somewhat of a household name, but it's like, I think it just might have been down to a bad casting choice. Like, weren't great movies to begin with. They were very political.
Look at it this way. What did Hamill do after Star Wars? He did the Guyver movies, and those sucked.
Ah, yes. Except Hamill...
He found
never
a
wanted,
second career.
Never, well, a second career, which was supposed to be his first. Mm-hmm. He never wanted to be a live-action actor. Huh. He wanted to be a voice actor from day one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Kevin Smith interviewed him, and he said from the beginning is he actually wanted to be a voice actor. And Star Wars kind of fell into his lap and became so huge.
Why turn down the money, right?
Exactly. But he was quite happy not being in front of the camera.
Wow.
Harrison Ford, nothing needs to be said about his career. We understand.
I think Carrie Fisher had the drug problems, which kept her out of Hollywood for a long time.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I feel like it's part of a victim. Like, a lot of people talk about the stories, and that's not wrong. I mean, there's clearly a reason why Lucas started with 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Hayden Christensen, who's kind of supposed to be the linchpin of those second two movies, really wasn't that great.
You know what? And here's my whole thing is Star Wars A New Hope, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, and Star Wars Return of the Jedi. When Lucas made those movies, even though, you know, he was only responsible for directing the first one, he was the creative mastermind behind all three. But it was about the story, I found. Where the new ones, Lucas actually...
It was about spectacle.
It was about spectacle, and he took away from the story. I mean, when you take a look at The Phantom Menace, you can't even pick who the main character in that movie is.
And the pod race that never ends.
And the pod race that never ends. I mean, that movie was almost like, I mean, it wasn't that well written. You know, for a movie that he was saying, okay, this is a kid's movie, This is a movie targeting kids. He put all that political boring jargon in there.
Oh my God, yeah, like, it's so boring.
Like, what kid knows about trade tariffs and
crap? Even the Trade Federation blockading the planet made no sense. It's like, what are you blockading them from?
Yeah,
you
like, what the hell is
Naboo that really affecting them that much? Okay, you got this rich, lush planet that has these marvelous oceans and these huge, like, green fields and forests and these massive, marvelous cities. What are they importing that they just can't produce?
Yeah, like, I'm really curious.
I mean, they're obviously way tech. Now, if it was like a ghetto planet like Tatooine and they were blockading it, I can see affecting them.
Or like Ord Mantell or something like that, like blockade one of these spaceport planets that needs that traffic coming in and out.
Exactly. And
tourism! That's what they screwed over. Tourism.
Yeah, they were
Coruscant noble doesn't get a chance to go relax on a Naboo beach somewhere.
Exactly. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe that. But
the golf courses are suffering. The Trade Federation, please help us. Exactly. My God, I even thought of it like this. The Naboo Tourism Board is suffering.
Yeah, you know what the biggest thing, though, is like, I feel like especially episode one was nothing but a huge nod to the original three movies. It's not that it had plot. It was just like, oh, look, Wookiees. You know, oh, hey, they mentioned something. You know, the best thing, the only two things that I liked with episode one, number one,
Darth Maul.
Ray Park's fantastic. And number two was the promo poster that showed Kid Anakin and his shadow made Darth Vader.
That was pretty badass.
I'm going to throw one more thing in there that would very impress me. Williams' Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
Okay, I take it back. Three things then.
Qui-Gon was a pretty badass character, too.
Duel of the Fates was pretty good, but I mean, it's also been a long time. I don't even bother watching any of those three.
I love, actually, my favorite Star Wars movie is actually Revenge of the Sith, then Empire. Oh, I love Sith. Sith got me back in the Star Wars.
I had
Wars.
Such a scathing review for Sith after I saw it.
And,
oh my God.
And here's my thing. Okay, when it came to the Phantom Menace, okay, here's Lucas going, here's your Star Wars. You've been without it for so long. Here's Star Wars. But I think the entire thing was a taste test. Okay, I think that entire movie was there just for him to go, hey, look, I can make more toys now.
Yeah, because supposedly he wrote this movie over like a weekend with his kids or some crap like that.
Exactly. And it didn't feel like he actually started thinking about how everything was being affected in the Star Wars universe until he got to the second movie. And even that felt somewhat rushed in such a way that it was like, well, like I remember him saying on set, or I remember reading somewhere that on set, Hayden Christensen said that he would try acting and Lucas would be like, no, tone it down. Less emotion. You're a Jedi. And one of the reasons why Hayden Christensen was so
boring, he was called Mannequin Skywalker?
Yeah, well, he was called Mannequin Skywalker is Lucas basically said, no, you're a Jedi. You need to tone it down. You need to tone it. Less emotion.
And yet you let Ewan McGregor do whatever the hell he wants. Well, guess what? He is Ewan McGregor. He can do whatever the hell he wants. One of the things I always had a problem with the overarching story of the prequels is why would you kill Darth Maul and introduce Darth Tyrannus? As much as I love Christopher Lee, he's not a threat. He fights Yoda, and he fights Anakin and Obi-Wan for all of two minutes. Darth Maul took down a Jedi Master with no effort whatsoever. And the only reason he lost to Obi-Wan is because he got cocky.
Oh, I honestly think with the whole Darth Maul situation that he should have showed back up in the second movie.
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
In the second movie with his mechanical legs.
Yeah, he shows up in the Clone Wars cartoon series and in the comic books.
Yeah, and here, I mean, a lot of what the prequels did, like a lot of like the entire how Anakin falls to the dark side stuff, I thought could have been handled a lot better as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it would have been a lot more interesting a movie because I just thought it was just like in Revenge of the Sith, the Emperor's like, join me, and Anakin's like, sure,
yeah, basically.
No, and it's like, and the way that Obi-Wan described him in A New Hope was he was the epitome of goodness, and he was corrupted, and it. You know, you were expecting this epic conflict within him to turn, and in the movie, it's just like, yeah, sure, I'll join you.
Why not?
It's hard to be the epitome of goodness when you're told not to show any emotion.
Well, true enough, but I mean, the way it was written, I thought it would have been a much better setup for the movie, as if
he ended up having to, I don't know, maybe the Emperor corrupted his own mother first. Mm-hmm. And then he had to, like, kill his own mother, and that's what caused him to turn to the dark side.
Also,
or something to that effect, not that sand people scene that was just overly overplayed. I killed them all! I killed them!
I also...
That's about the closest you ever see him outside of the Jedi Temple assault going nuts.
I feel there was very little chemistry between him and Natalie Portman, as far as, like, the characters supposed to be falling in love. And I feel like that should have been the linchpin, like, well, and it kind of was as far as the last thing that was holding on to his humanity, but it's still like I feel like that relationship,
well,
the two of them didn't.
I just never
bought
the whole thing of she died of a broken heart. I think it would have been
two friggin' babies.
I think it would have been much again for the corruption of him. It would have been more interesting from the standpoint of a story if you took maybe she had the kids were taken away from her. And then she was persuaded to the dark side, and he had to kill his own love. Mm-hmm. You know,
that would have been cool.
Or
you know, I just thought that the entire thing felt like there was no inner conflict within him. It was just there was no reason for him to.
I could counter that. Only look at the way he fights Obi-Wan. You can tell he does. I see that fight on Mustafar, where they're battling the crap out of each other. I see that as I have to fight my own brother, but I'm going to take him down. Because he, like that's rage fighting.
It is, but I feel like it was too little too late.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like,
I'm not saying there aren't moments to these movies. I'm not saying they're horrible from beginning to end.
It's almost like it's inconsistent.
Yes.
That I will give you, for sure.
I would take consistent crap over up and down, peaks and valleys.
It's like you did what I'm getting with the whole fall of Anakin is there was no fall. It was just there was one scene where he's just the scene where Mace Windu comes in and then you know, he fights the Emperor, and then the Emperor's like, join me, and Anakin's like, okay,
all right, sure.
Let's see, what do
like,
I do this weekend?
You
buy
you
groceries,
you
pick up the wife, join the dark side.
It could have been the fact that he was told not to overact, and because of that, you couldn't see the conflict within him, or whatever, when it came to Hayden Christensen's acting in the situation. You couldn't see because he was told not to overact it, but you couldn't see the inner struggle within him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, because of for something that you know, Obi-Wan says in like the previous movies, the first Star Wars movies, on how he was conflicted and how his prize student became, you know, a force of evil. And I don't know, I felt like I was robbed a little in that aspect.
Obi-Wan's original explanation that Darth Vader killed Anakin Skywalker, and knowing what we know now, it made it sound like the dark side consumed him. But how can the dark side consume him and like take him over if he seemed so apathetic to begin with, like you were saying, that he didn't really it's like it wasn't a choice.
Cared enough for Padme to allow Darth Sidious to give him the option to save her. But you never see what kind of... I mean, Anakin was getting the visions of Padme dying and all that. But he could have done something more, I felt. But one of the things, if you want to see more Darth Vader stories, there are some really good Dark Horse comics that happened before Episode 4. I'm trying to remember what the hell they were called, though.
Dark Force Rising.
I think the one was called Order 66. Where you see him,
yeah,
like,
and there's
fights,
Order 66.
He fights a bunch of Jedi Padawans, and this happens, like, maybe days after he gets the new armor. He gets, like, half his face torn off, and it's really freaking cool. I think that was maybe a single issue, or maybe a double size.
Now, speaking of which, like, you know, when it all comes down to it, like, most people will agree that the prequels didn't hold a candle to the originals. They got better as they went along. Like you said, like Revenge of the Sith was definitely a better movie than Attack of the Clones. And
although
Phantom
Attack
Menace.
Of the Clones, I find grows on you over time.
One of the things I didn't like about Revenge of the Sith, and I realized this was probably more of a time thing than anything, was how quickly the Jedi were dispatched.
Oh yeah, that should have been half the movie. Should have been Order 66.
With the exception of you know, your name brand guys like Mace Windu, it's like half of them, they get off, like a spaceship, dead.
Yeah, because,
and it's like, really? These guys are Jedi.
Like, one of the deaths I did like, and they do talk about this more in the comics, is when you see the blue Jedi chick die, Ayla Sakura, the clone commander purposely shoots her in the back. You may think, oh, that's brutal. They wanted to spare her a violent death. So they shot her in a place where they knew she was going to die instantly, because that clone commander felt a sense of loyalty to her. And then when Ki-Adi-Mundi, the guy with the big forehead, got betrayed by the snowtroopers, by Commander Bakara, that was, you've abused me for the last time, sort of thing. And then, I can't remember the chick on the bike, Stassily or something. Yeah, huge Star Wars nerd, by the way.
But that's what I'm saying, though, and I agree with you. I feel like the actual slaughtering of the Jedi...
Shouldn't have been a five-minute montage?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah, I completely agree with you there. Like, honestly, there should have been a lot more. I mean, hell, even when they built up General Grievous to be this friggin' badass, they cut a scene where he kills Shaak-Ti, who's another Twilight Jedi. No, maybe she'll... I don't know.
Okay, all I'm saying is in Phantom Menace, he gave 45 minutes to a pod race.
Yeah, that...
An unimportant pod race. But Order 66 was glazed over in 3 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
So, you know, when it all boils down to it, yes, the prequels had their flaws. Now, let me ask you these when it came to the prequels. Aside from the writing and all that, did you feel like they had the same feel as the Star Wars?
Only Revenge of the Sith, I felt, came close at points, because it felt like...
Now, I'm hoping...
Like stuff was happening.
I'm hoping that Disney takes some fan feedback when they do episodes 7, 8, and 9, and they cut back maybe a little on the CG.
Yes.
Supposedly they are, actually.
One thing I did like that obviously was trying to make them feel like the old ones is that the scene cuts still had that same, you know,
that
where
feel.
I'm moving my arm. You can't see it, obviously, anybody listening. But like how, you know, the scene would wipe, you know, from bottom screen to the top, or, you know, I'm not big on movie lingo, but anyway.
The editor knew how to emulate.
They were edited, the scene switches were edited the same way as the original three movies. So that gave it a bit of a feel.
I just hope
the CG was too much.
I just hope that the episode 7, 8, and 9, they kind of toned back the green screening, they toned back the CG effects just a little to the point where they actually feel like... Like the originals were again.
Well supposedly in England right now, if you're a model maker, you can get a job for the next 3 to 4 years just working on Star Wars. Like, it's a good time to have micro building skills right now.
Well, that's
because I want to do all that.
We've said this, I think, when we touched on movie stuff in the past, is that as great as CG is, it doesn't hold a candle to practical
effects. Oh, yeah, practical will always,
you know,
look better.
Put people in suits instead of CG. You know, I can understand if you've got to have like an entire planet of Ewoks. Yeah, you can CG a few of them, but at the same time, the practical just, it looks better. And when you have practical mixed with CG, it's really hard to have them, you know, look great together.
Yeah, like there are very few moments where it actually works out, because I remember someone, this was an interview when Master Replicas held the license for Star Wars Episode 3 prop replicas. They were asking, can we see an actual clone trooper helmet? We're like, we don't have any. The hell are you talking about? They had to build the clone trooper helmet from computer scans, from the 3D data, because there was not a practical helmet built.
And it's like, how many clone trooper scenes were there where you could have had guys in the full suit?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because vacuforming the armor is relatively inexpensive. And, you know, it's a cool thing to have. I mean, like, you'd be surprised how much Stormtrooper helmets go for these days.
And that's kind of what I was getting at, is I felt, for me personally, watching episode 1, 2, and 3, I didn't have the same sense of...
Scale, maybe?
Of scale, fitting into the universe, feeling that connection to the universe, because... Everything was just green screened.
It's just a little too shiny. Moves just a little too well.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. Everything just looked it looked good, but you knew there in the back of your mind that it wasn't. You know, that it was fake.
And, one of the
And I thought that took away from it a little.
One scene that kind of killed it for me in the prequels, as much as we bash them, Darth Tyrannus fighting Yoda. The little flipping Muppet. That pissed me off something fierce. Because it didn't... The fight between good and evil was reduced to look at Yoda doing skateboard tricks. With his lightsaber spinning around.
I'm not saying... I mean, because Yoda was heralded even in his older days as, you know, he was a fantastic Jedi back in the day. So I'm not saying they couldn't CG him and have it be a fun fight. But
it was like the X Games with a lightsaber.
You know how I think they should have handled Yoda in that scene? I think they should have handled Yoda as if he was like an Aikido master. Like, he was so good with the sword, he couldn't be touched, but he always let the bad guy attack first.
Yeah. Like, sort of just like swipe
not,
his.
Not him
away.
Going and flipping all over
the
place.
I think his specialty should have been stealth because of his size. You know, have the guy go to attack him, and then, oh, Yoda's behind me now.
Or maybe have him use force powers and like, you move and I'll drop a building on you.
That's the other thing.
He was listed in the actual Star Wars movies as being one of the best lightsaber masters. That's why I was saying he needed to have like that Aikido Kenpo kind of mastery of the lightsaber where because in Aikido and Kenpo, it doesn't matter how big you are as an actual master, you can take down any size opponent just by using their own force against them.
Yeah, exactly. Turning, like, how does it go? Turning a block into a strike into a block sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he should have been, I think, more of the wizened kind of martial arts master than the I'm flipping everywhere and then go back to my cane. Yeah. It's like that kind of took away the Yoda for me as well. You know, that and the fact that, you know, he was CG'd again and not a puppet. I loved the puppet Yoda with Frank Oz doing the voice, so.
Although the puppet Yoda for episode one was comical.
Yeah.
It's actually, there is a picture somewhere online where they show what the Yoda puppet looks like now from episode one. Because over time, rubber moves, and so do the animatronics. It's just metal resting, right? Yoda has this look of utter terror on his face now. You should Google this picture. I'm pretty sure it's out there. I'll try and find it for the episode art, but type in Yoda episode one puppet and you'll see this picture somewhere.
Now here's another point that everybody likes to complain about in the prequels before we move on and talk some other Star Wars. Jar Jar.
You know what? I liked him in episode three. Only because he's the reason the Galactic Empire comes to power.
Yeah. Originally, in Lucas's original draft for episode one, Jar Jar was supposed to betray the Jedi's on the planet of Naboo and actually call the Trade Federation down upon them. And Jar Jar was supposed to be a bad guy.
Why didn't they do that? People already didn't like him.
But
turn him heel.
You couldn't take him seriously with the performance. I think that's why. They totally screwed him when you had him using his friggin' tongue. Exactly. Like, oh, the Jedi are coming. I need the Trade Federation. You're not going to buy that, which is unfortunate.
Maybe
they
it was an act.
They tried to turn him into comic relief like C-3PO was.
Yeah, and it just never worked. The thing is, Jar Jar was obnoxious.
Mm-hmm. Instead of turning him into comic relief, they could have just made it an act. And then afterwards, like, Misa gonna watch you die.
Now, it's funny. They actually...
Seriously.
There are fan edits of this movie that actually have Jar Jar's dialogue replaced. And they cut out all the comical scenes. I really need to find... I think it's called Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Edit.
I think they should have kept it with him betraying them. Yeah, sure, he came off as comic relief, but they could have just had that be an act for the character.
Yeah, you know, it would have. I think it would have been a much cooler idea to the movie that Jar Jar, they think he's this bumbling fool, but he's actually this calculating mastermind. I think that
Jar Jar
would have
Binks is Kaiser Sose.
Yeah. Anyway... Let's move on. When it comes to Star Wars, there's the expanded universe. The expanded universe is all the comics, the video games, the role-playing games.
Animated shows.
And the novels that have been written. Now, one thing with Disney's acquisition of Star Wars, and something that's got the fan community a little up in arms, is the fact that Disney is saying now...
Wiping the slate clean.
That the expanded universe is stricken from the record, which means everything that anybody has written for Star Wars past Return of the Jedi, they're saying is utter crap now and no longer counts.
Yep, so that means they're getting
rid
of...
Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire series forward...
And the Jedi
is just flushed down the toilet.
Here's where you have me at a disadvantage, because I haven't actually read any of the books from the expanded stuff. The closest thing I've gotten of past the movies is I know a little bit about the Clone Wars, and I watched Ewoks and Droids cartoons.
Read the expanded universe since 1996. I stopped in 2005.
I know a little bit because my wife works at a bookstore.
I'm
an
encyclopedic with this crap.
From a fan, Mike, who has read that much, which is roughly what I've read, I've probably read a few things past that as well. But
once they got to the Yuuzhan Vong War, I'm like, fuck this.
Do you think that is fair for Disney, who now has the rights to basically take a big crap on those writers who put all that time and effort into writing that universe?
I think they should keep some elements, like the Thrawn trilogy should stay in place, but not the sequel to it.
Yeah.
The Dark Empire series from Dark Horse, elements of that should stay. The Jedi Academy trilogy by Kevin J. Anderson, I think that should stay in continuity. And even the courtship of Princess Leia... I think Dave Wolverton, I think, wrote that book.
Yeah.
I liked that story, and a lot of people give it crap.
My take on this is that you could attribute it to the same as, like, say, the New 52. Because that, you know, if they completely reboot their universe, those other stuff, what counts, what doesn't. I don't think Disney should necessarily go out of their way and say, that never happened. I think with them making 7, 8, and 9 and continuing on.
I think cherry pick
the best parts from this stuff, and what's not going to work in the movies, you know, they can kind of rework.
I think part of the problem was the tack that Disney took with this. It's the we're in charge now, the hell with you guys. They could have taken a more tactful way of saying this as complimenting the writers, being like, you guys made some amazing stuff. We may use some of it for our stuff because we do think it was really good. But we're also going to take it in our own direction. But Disney basically just came right out and slapped everybody in the face.
And went, nope, ours now.
Instead,
ours
now. Darth Mouse your stuff said, doesn't this count is ours, anymore. Go away.
And like, the funny thing is, I think Thrawn could still be an amazing villain for episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Supposedly they're looking at people like that. I think, honestly, Thrawn will be in 7, 8, 9. I really think so.
I hope so, because, you know, he was an amazing villain character.
And they need to bring
for the remnants of the Empire. And I think him coming out of hiding with them being older, as opposed to it taking place, you know, only 5 years past Jedi, they could easily do it 25 years past Jedi. He's still the guy that came out from hiding from the secret military base and thinks the Empire's still in charge, mm-hmm. and starts doing his thing. Like, it could... He was off in a
you could rework
quadrant
the story
in the galaxy somewhere,
the
came
time.
Back to find the Empire conquered, and was like, the hell with this.
Yeah, because like in the books, he was out exploring the unknown regions, and they had his little fleet with them, like 5 Star Destroyers.
And another Executor-class Star Destroyer.
Yeah, so there's no reason why they couldn't do this, and they could rework it to have it fit with the new universe. Now, it sucks that we probably won't see characters like Talon Card or Mara Jade.
Yeah.
They might keep Mara.
They might keep Mara. Another one that I would love to see would be if they do Jorah Sabaoth.
Yeah. Oh my god.
The Mad Jedi. Oh god, yeah. He was one of the things that I absolutely loved. I honestly think that those books would be a perfect episode 7, 8, 9. And even if they just rework them to introduce some new characters, so the older characters like Harrison Ford and all those guys could only be in the first movie, but still have somebody take over and use the same plot line, but introduce the new generation of characters.
Yeah, or they could even use elements out of the Jedi Academy series where Luke
that as well, yeah. When he sets up his Jedi Academy on Yavin 4 and starts training the new line of Jedi.
Yeah, like there's so much that could be done with the universe. I'm just wondering, how do you fix some... Like, I'm glad they're wiping part of the universe, because one of the books I hated... Lord, did I hate this book. Truce at Bakura happens 5 minutes after the end of Return of the Jedi.
I found that book was boring.
Oh my god, the Cicero and the Entechment, like middle finger to my microphone.
You know what I think would be an awesome movie if they actually put it together is the story of Darth Bane and how he brought the Sith down to the rule of two. Have you read those?
I have. Or any
those basically would make an amazing kind of side movie that they could do.
Or if they did a one-off movie with Ulrich Keldroma in the Tales of the Jedi, or do Knights of the Old Republic. It's right there.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I'm trying to think of other books that... Okay, one of the other things I'm glad they're going to wipe. Chewbacca's death was so ridiculous. It's supposed to mean something, and he obviously makes sure Han gets away on the Millennium Falcon and everything. They drop a friggin' moon on him.
I know.
Like, seriously, it's like dropping a bowling ball onto a tomato. It's the most ridiculously cartoony way for one of the most beloved characters.
Well, the entire Yashin Vong thing I thought was a complete joke, so...
Oh yeah, that and they're invincible to the Force and all this crap. Like, Jesus, man.
Well, okay, I mean they had things that were invincible. The Yasamiri were
but that kind of made sense.
Jeff, are you falling asleep there? We're in the expanded universe, and no. I get that you're not a you haven't read much of this stuff.
No, so. Unfortunately, I haven't. I'm not falling asleep. I'm actually learning a fair bit, but yeah, that's one of the things. I'm not too knowledgeable past the movies for the most part, with the exception of, again, I said, and this is very expanded and probably in a lot of ways has nothing to do with the movies, is the Droids and Ewoks cartoons from when I was a kid.
Oh, yes.
And I have followed a little bit. I've seen the Clone Wars movie, the animated movie, before they started doing the TV
series. The series is so much better.
Oh, yes.
So I know a little bit, and I've played a little bit of Force Unleashed.
Oh my god! Even the Force Unleashed would be kind of a cool.
That's what I'm saying. Oh yeah, no, that would be kind of tie in, you know.
And that's something that I'm hoping that they do in the next movies is maybe use some of the Jedi who are using it, use the Force a little more intelligently.
Yeah,
like I'm sorry, I liked in the Force Unleashed when you literally get to rip a Star Destroyer out of the sky with the Force.
Oh yeah.
You know, I want to see somebody like, you know, like another thing, like, you know, and riddle me this. Maybe you know the answer to this, Mike, but I've never read it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would it, if you had control of the Force and you were going to like get into a lightsaber duel with somebody, why wouldn't you just turn your opponent's lightsaber off?
You could. You really could. I'm pretty sure they've done this in the books. And that's another thing, too. I want the Jedi to be a little more realistic in some ways. And here's what I mean. A friend of mine has a web series called Counter Monkey. His name is Spoony. And he tells a story about he made a character called the Jedi Hunter. And it's very similar to this is before Knights of the Old Republic had come out. And there's a character called HK-47, right?
Oh, yes.
The assassin droid. What does that assassin droid do? He kills Jedi, right? I would love to see on screen how the Jedi answer being caught on fire, stun blasted, stuff like that. Because in one of the books, Admiral Dalla, who is Thrawn's secret lover or some shit like that, shoots a Jedi in the back with a stun weapon. And the Jedi's like, you can't do that. He's like, what are you going to do? Block it?
Well, see, and that's another thing, like a shotgun.
Yeah, like there, like there is a weapon in
a flat cannon, right?
Yeah, like there is a weapon in one of the Star Wars Fantastic Guides to Technology called the Deck Clearing Blaster. It's a blaster shotgun. You can't block that, or electric nets, or like there's so many things that the Jedi like they come across as invincible. I'd love to see a character who isn't a Jedi.
They come across invincible unless it's the 3-second montage of Order 66.
Yeah, and was there because huh, bam.
Well, here's my thinking is the dark side's always going to be around, right? Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't they, knowing the Jedi, knowing their power set, why wouldn't they be working on weapons that can get around that?
Yeah,
you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that there's going to be these weapons around that can hurt and kill Jedi.
Yeah, like
well, I remember in the video games, the old PC games, the Jedi Academy and the ones in and around the Jedi Academy series.
Dark Force or whatever?
Dark Force and all that. There actually was a flat cannon in there, and any Jedi you went against or Sith Lord...
Couldn't block it,
because you're basically going, all right, pick one, block that, the other ones hit you.
Yeah, and even if they had Force Push... Just jackhammer it at them. Good luck. So, I mean, even a flamethrower, even if they use force push to push the flame back, there's always going to be a way around it.
See, and this is why I would love to see it handled more that way, but I also want to see the Jedi themselves or the Sith using more destructive ways to use the force. I understood with Vader doing the fourth choke on somebody, but literally you could do the whole head crush thing.
Yeah.
For real.
crush. I mean, what I would do is I would crush people's hearts inside their chest or collapse their lungs.
Exactly. Like,
or if you want to be really torturous, it's like, oh, there goes one femur.
Yep. Like, oh, what are you going
to
do now?
There goes
buddy?
Your ankle. Oh, now you've got to crawl to me. Oh, look. They're going to break every one of your fingers.
There is one character in the expanded universe, and they're Force-sensitive people trained by Darth Vader and Darth Sidious, and they're called Inquisitors. They're supposed to be Darth Vader's emissaries, kind of like the Emperor's Hand sort of thing, but they're less autonomous. Or they're part of the regular Imperial shit, but they can torture people using the Force. I would love to see it. Imagine a real Sith assassin, not Darth Maul who uses lightsabers, but yeah, like you're saying... Break a femur, crush a heart, stir the brain.
It's like a sniper, but without actually having to need the gun.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, it's a crime, and they're going to say, well, how did that happen? Mm-hmm.
His neck just spontaneously broke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
who's to say you can't... Oh, I just tossed your body in front of a speedster that was coming by.
I mean, imagine... I mean, honestly, this opens up a whole new area of Star Wars. A picture... What would a police detective or the equivalent of a cop, how are you going to stop a Jedi or a Sith? How are you going to do that?
Star Wars Batman.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. If you came across a Jedi murderer, are you going to do? Yeah. I'm really wondering where Disney's going to take all these properties, because the television show called Rebels, I'm cautiously optimistic for. The live action series we've been talking about since I'm pretty sure 1998.
Yeah.
If it ever happens, I'll be goddamn surprised.
Well, I think the biggest reason why I think Lucas didn't release the series, he filmed 300 hours worth of footage. The problem was the cost to make, he said, to put the special effects into it at the par that the rest of the movies were just too expensive.
And now with CG, he could do it.
Exactly.
But this would be the single most expensive television show produced. Now, that's to say...
It would probably be the single most watched with the popularity of Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, and especially if cost happened to be a factor... Do short seasons. I mean, the British, for example, their television series are 13 episodes. Over here, they're 24 to 26, depending.
But you
or
look
22.
At, you look at shows like Walking Dead's only 16.
Yeah.
And that's at most. Its first season was 6.
Yeah.
You know, Falling Sky, Spielberg's summer show, is only 13 episodes.
Yeah, so I don't see why they couldn't...
Half seasons, which is generally what 13-episode seasons are considered, aren't out of the realm of possibility now. It's become a real... Television shows in general have become a real quality over quantity thing.
Yeah.
If people aren't going to care if it's 13 episodes...
If they're really
good. If it's good. Exactly.
Yeah.
It'll just mean they're salivating all the more for it to come back for the next season.
Yeah. I mean, Walking Dead's a good example
of
this.
How many episodes was Breaking Bad a season? Probably about 13?
Yeah. Yeah, around 13. I think 18.
Most of those AMC and HBO shows and stuff like that are less than your standard 22 to 26 episode TV
season. And they can really put the production value behind it.
Exactly.
And that's what I'd like to see them do. And the thing is, a Star Wars show, honestly... ABC, because they're owned by Disney, has such an advantage, because I know they're one of the most watched networks in Hollywood or across North America. Mm-hmm. They have the distribution to do whatever the hell they want with it, and it will be successful. If they dump the money into it, they're going to make it back hand over fist. Can you imagine selling ad time on the Star Wars television show? Mm-hmm. That's going to make advertisers so much money.
The funny thing is, and this is the difference, I feel like they could even get into the realm of stuff they did with like episode 1 and stuff like that, because you can take the political drama that's involved and still make it a good TV show.
Yeah.
Because you're stretching it out. It's not this one long, boring 3-hour movie. You can stretch it over a season.
House of Cards with lightsabers.
You can have political intrigue. That's what I'm saying. And actually make it good. So you can still expand the universe even more.
As long as if they're trying to target the youth with it, you got to keep the political intrigue to a more base level.
I agree. Yes, if it's
not quite twirly mustache,
it depends.
But
it depends
on the demographic they're going for. But you're right; you don't want that to be everything. But at the same time, you don't want every single episode to be lightsaber battles. Like again, to use Walking Dead as an example, and I'm not trying to do any spoilers. You can go with any season.
When the people die,
when the group gets separated, you'll have an entire episode that'll only focus on two people.
Yeah.
And then the next episode focuses on a different group and a different group. So, I mean, you can have like a political episode and then the next one can be all lightsabers and, you know, laser rifles.
I mean, when it boils down to Star Wars, one of the fantastical things about this entire franchise is just the dedication of the fans in general.
Okay? We'll buy anything.
Yes, I agree.
Say, don't try to deny it.
Yeah, I tried to deny it, but I realized no. But when it comes to Star Wars, just the dedication of the fans, the amount the fans want to immerse themselves into this universe, mm-hmm. you know, the costumes they make, the 501st.
That's right.
Yep, the 501st, the fan films that are made, you know, like just Star Wars has turned from just... not just a universe with a bunch of movies, but it's turned into an entire culture.
Yes.
An entire subculture. And I think that is the most impressive thing about Star Wars. And now that the torch has been passed to Disney, you know, all I can say is my favorite Disney princess now is Princess Leia.
Yeah, technically Leia is a Disney princess now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But no one will ever say Padme.
Well, she was a queen.
That's true. Loophole. Queen Amidala. That's right. She
was a
queen. Like
she wasn't a princess. She was a queen.
But
and then
yeah.
she retired from being a queen, and then so she was just an ex-queen.
Yeah, just, you know, like she's changing her socks.
She can't be a Disney princess because she was never a princess.
I mean, one of the things I really want the fandom to gather around this, and I really want the fandom to dictate the quality. If they listen to the right people in the fan community, this could be fantastic.
Yeah.
If you listen to the asshole who's hanging out on message boards at 3:00 in the morning bitching about little continuity errors, your show's going to suck.
Or if they get a little too big for their britches and say, you know, hey, we have the rights to this. We're not listening to you. We're doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Then the fans will rebel. But
here's the thing. Star Wars is such a loyalty-based brand. The rebellion will be very, very, very small.
If they haven't lost people with the original... The
prequels? Prequel trilogy, yeah.
Then,
well, no. See, what'll happen with this? Like I said,
toy sales will be down. Viewership will be up.
What I was saying at the beginning of the episode here is, if episode 7 turns out to be a travesty, all that's going to do is make people want the nostalgic stuff more. However, if episode 7 turns out to be a glorious, amazing next step. Mm-hmm. Then Star Wars in general will get a huge kickstart revitalization, which means people are going to want anything Star Wars in general, whether it's vintage or not.
Well,
so more money for you.
I feel like you can't
yes
you can't please everyone, and we can't look at episode 7 as being the Avengers. Episode 7 is Iron Man.
They have to rebuild the universe.
It's the beginning of this whole thing. Exactly. They're not starting from scratch, but they still have to rebuild from the damage that was caused by the trilogy and it's the prequels. And they can't undo the prequels either. They can't just say, okay, that didn't happen.
Yeah, because they are now officially continuity.
Exactly. So episode 7 is going to have a lot of damage control to try and rebuild some things. Now, the one good thing is that because they were the prequels, episode 7 is actually coming off of Return of the Jedi. So they have that going for them. But it's, like I said, it's still a square one of a new chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like I said, it's not going to be the Avengers. You're not going to have everybody loving this. People are going to hate it even still. Even if it's a fantastic success, there are going to be people that aren't going to like it.
One of the things I want them to do with it is I want them to make the Empire or the Imperial Remnant, if that's in fact the bad guy, make them a real threat. Like, don't make them, like, the Stormtroopers in the original trilogy were a joke. They looked cool, and that was about it.
I have an argument for this. Okay, a lot of people are like, the Stormtroopers were crappy shots.
They could have been conscripts.
Okay, well, no. Think of it this way, okay? In A New Hope, Obi-Wan said during the whole destruction of the Jawa Sandcrawler scene where they found it, mm-hmm. that Imperial officers are too, this is too accurate for sand people. This is more
Imperial Stormtroopers only so precise.
Imperial Stormtroopers. Then you go to like the Cloud City scene where they can't hit the broadside of a barn. But they were purposely having them, they were purposely ordered to let them escape so they could track them.
So explain Endor and those biker scouts that are crap shots. Although one did hit Leia.
Well, there you go. I just
with a holdout pistol.
I think the Return of the Jedi aspect on Endor was they just weren't ready for the Ewoks.
I could also believe they were Imperial conscripts, because in Star Wars Battlefront 2, they do address this. They say some of the older clones, that's just it, they're getting old. They were accelerated growth out of Kamino to be the 501st Vader's Legion, and while there's still a number of clones still in active service, they're having to use conscripts to become the new Imperial Stormtrooper Corps.
Plain and simple. They were crappy shots because that's what it said in the script.
Well, that too. I'm one of those nitpicky fanboys.
And also keeping in mind, like, even in A New Hope, you know,
been over 30 years.
They wanted to go join the Imperials because
it was the thing to do.
We're drafting.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, Luke talks about going off to the Imperial
Training Academy.
Yeah. He wants to go be a TIE pilot or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I would also, that's something else I'd like to see on the television series. I'd like to see it from the other side.
Do a evil's or dark side's perspective.
Yeah, or you know, kind of like how there's this one movie, I think it's called All's Quiet on the Western Front, and it talks about German soldiers, German kids that were conscripted into the war. And it's like, man, I don't want to be here. And it's them fighting against the Allies, and they don't know any better. I'd like to see the Imperial Stormtroopers, and, you know, maybe they're not...
That reminds me of the fan film Troops.
Yeah. Well, there was also a story in Tales from Mos Eisley. They talk about the Stormtrooper that found the one who says, "Look, sir, droids." And how that moment changed his perspective on the Empire, because he joined to be all that he could be. He was boy Captain America. He wanted to do the right thing to help serve the Empire. But it wasn't until he saw them murder the Jawas that like they're like, man, this ain't cool. I'd love to see Star Wars do that. Or if I had my way, and I've said this before for other properties, I'd like to see Band of Brothers set in Star Wars.
That would be interesting.
A group of stormtroopers, a group of clone commandos.
See, and this is one of the reasons why I like that old Republican Commando game.
Yeah, I love Republican Commando.
And I think this is...
Bullshit ending, though.
Yeah.
I think this is what I was kind of seeing what Mike was saying, not just about them being the bad shots, but I feel like there wasn't enough emphasis made on the stormtroopers as an entity. So
well, that and Imperial stormtroopers, they're only a small part of the Imperial army.
Yeah.
Because they actually have regular ground troops. Stormtroopers are, you send them in when shit goes bad. You don't send them in as a regular army. And they even address this in the Thrawn trilogy. They're like, we can't send you a legion of stormtroopers. Why? We don't have any. Hmm. Take these army grunts. They're just as good. They just don't have the fancy armor.
Yeah.
Really, that's they're just my as problem. Good. They're clones.
So, yeah.
So let's wrap this up, Mike, with a kind of a Star Wars wish list. If you could have anything, video game, book, TV show, whatever, based on Star Wars, what would it be? What would it be about, and how would you want it handled?
I would like to see a reboot to the Star Wars role-playing game. I'd like to see it return out of a D20 system. I'd like to see it go back to West End Games' D6 with all the improvements that have been made in the last 15 years.
Have you tried Edge of the Empire?
Not yet.
I hear that it's actually a pretty solid system.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to try it myself, but I've heard good things.
I'm curious about it. But yeah, I would like to start a whole new line of role-playing games to give it and give it a good, proper release. And actually, when something happens in Star Wars, I would love the ability to give players new, like, if, say, a new character comes up on the television series, for example, right? The next day, here's his character sheet, here's his stats. Here you go. That's what I'd want to do, because I'd like to create the immersion within the community.
What about you, Jeff?
Well, this was a point I was going to make earlier, as far as one of the worries I have with Episode 7 is that there's so many directions they can go that I worry that they might get bogged down by so much continuity and so many things they can do. And I'm sort of faced with the same thing now. There's so many different things I could say for a wish list, so I'm going to keep it very simple. My wish list, take Hayden Christensen out of the end of Empire. I hate that. I haven't bought it on DVD because of that edition. How whenever Luke sees the three ghosts of Yoda, Obi-Wan, and his father, except they changed it to Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
I hate that. So I want my original bald Darth Vader ghost back.
I'm just glad they took out the space monkey version of the Emperor out of Empire and inserted the new Darth Sidious into the new special editions.
Yeah, yeah.
And how about you?
As for me, my favorite thing about Star Wars was the old TIE Fighter and X-Wing PC games.
Yes, that they should reboot that.
I want them to revisit on a next-gen console a Star Wars flight sim style combat, space combat game, and I want them to make it right.
Nice.
That's what I want. That is
no
what
Kinect
I want.
Controls.
No Kinect controls. I just want them to make pick the Imperials or pick the Rebels, have all the ships, you can pilot whatever you want, and just go nuts. And make multiplayer too, so you can dogfight your friends.
Nice. And make the missions meaningful.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool. Like, here, do the bombing run of the Imperial Academy, try and avoid civilian casualties.
Oh yeah, no, there's just cool. So many ways you can do that. But I want another awesome, epic Star Wars space combat game.
I want a game that doesn't have Jedi. I want them to finish Star Wars 1313.
You know what I want? I would also like a game based on you being a smuggler.
Yeah. I think that's what 1313 was supposed to be. Like, you,
yeah.
It was like the criminal underworld.
Yeah, and the thing with 1313 is I've heard murmurings that Disney is talking about getting everyone back to finish it just because they got such a shitstorm for canceling
it. I'd like
it.
To see what'll happen at E3.
Yeah.
Because, or next year's E3 when the movie comes out in December. It wouldn't surprise me if they have some kind of a new Star Wars game. I know Battlefield 3 is being worked on, but it wouldn't surprise me if they have something in store.
I wouldn't mind seeing Force Unleashed turned into even just like a CG movie, or even just expand more as far as like the movie and stuff for the stuff in between the prequel and the original three movies. I mean, I realize they're going with Episode 7, they're going ahead, but it would be nice, like, and that's what I said. They've got so many different directions they can go. It wouldn't hurt if they had, like, even some shorts, like how Marvel's doing the one-shots.
Yeah.
They could have, you know, Star Wars one-shots, so to speak, of, you know, little bits of history from in-between movies, and you can kind of see how things happen.
I think that would be cool. I think that would be epic. And speaking of Marvel, the final thing is the fact that as of the end of this year, Dark Horse Comics will be losing the comic rights and Marvel will be picking them up for next year.
I hope they pick up a lot of the Dark Horse artists.
That would be nice because I am not very fond of a lot of the Marvel artists right now.
Well, it's just that Star Wars and Dark Horse has a very distinctive look.
They do, and you know what? Dark Horse has been doing such a phenomenal job with Star Wars from the late 80s to present that I feel that I think that they need a little bit of props for that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there are very, in my opinion, there are very few bad Star Wars Dark Horse comics. Yeah, there's a couple that are complete shit. But for the most part, they've handled the license really well, and they've treated the property with respect, and they give everyone, if you want to work on it, they give you a chance.
Yeah.
So, I'm...
I think Marvel
does the same.
I think Marvel should take if it ain't broke, don't fix it approach to that.
That's exactly it.
Anyway, Mike, I believe that we're at time for that for this episode. We kind of rambled on about Star Wars. So,
and here's the thing. We could easily go for another hour.
Oh, God. I could talk Star Wars for episodes of this show.
Oh, my God. No idea.
But, however, the next time on the show, we are going to be talking Twip Twip about Spider-Man.
Ba-da-da, da-da-da.
All right, guys. So, for Beyond the Gauntlet, we have been...
I am not the Jeff DeHaan you're looking for.
I am Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I am Darth Petal, owner and operator of the Gauntlet.